Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
The story of the day, dare I say, is involving Robert Kraft, the owner, of course, of the New England Patriots, who, I don't know, what, a month ago, month and a half ago, was caught up in a sting, a prostitution sting, went to a massage parlor, got some happy endings.
Didn't get a massage, right.
Right. And there were, it's on videotape, and he has tried to use his wealth,
privilege,
and his stature and his privilege to not only get out of the crime, but to keep the videotape from being put out there. And today there were details. The police might be bothered, right? And so details have leaked about the specifics of
testimony.
His encounter. Yeah, the testimony about his encounter. And it's not pretty. It's explicit. And we won't get into all the gory details, but it's embarrassing for him. And what I want to say, because I know you have a ton to say about it, is let this be a lesson to people. You know, he's guilty. There's no doubt about it. You're on videotape, okay? Admit your guilt. Repent, if you will. If, I hate to use a religious word, but,
well,
admit
but
your guilt.
I know
guilt.
What you mean. Right.
You did something wrong. We know this is a forgiving country.
People
a
will
lot
forgive
of people
you.
Made mistakes, right? And move on. You would have been fine. You could have probably had a deal with the cops and your plea agreement where this video does not come out. No details about it come out. But because you wanted to fight it, when everybody knew you're on videotape, we know you did it. But because you want to fight it, because you thought your money, your prestige, whatever, was going to cover you and get you by, now you're getting embarrassed to high heaven. And it is embarrassing. And people looking at you in a whole different way. So let it be a lesson. You do something wrong, admit it. You did it wrong. You're sorry. You're going to do better. And people will forgive you and you can move on and save yourself some embarrassment like Mr. Robert Kraft is going through right now.
The late New York Mets announcer Bob Murphy used to have a saying, Chris. He says, that's why they put erasers on pencils. People make mistakes.
That's right.
It ain't the end of the world. Yep. But in this case here, I'm coming at the NFL and Bob Kraft harder. And I did it from day one, Chris, yep, when I said this was an offense that was worthy of the league saying you should sell the team. Only from this standpoint. The NFL's always been about not embarrassing the shield. We don't need the letter of the law to determine whether or not. You remember players were getting in trouble all the time?
Right.
And they said, we don't need a conviction in court. We will protect our own shield. And if you do stuff to wreck the shield or put it in a bad light, we will act. Playing football, owning the football, is not a birthright. It's not. It's an exclusive club. You know why, Chris? Because you could have more money than God. The owners decide who gets to own a team. It ain't the highest bidder. You could have more money than all the owners combined, and they could still keep you out because they don't believe in what you represent,
right,
how you made your money, how you live your life. That's why
no
this is seriously a situation.
So you think they should force him to sell?
Absolutely. This is embarrassing. This is a
it's
guy
definitely embarrassing.
Who thought he had the privilege, Chris. All he had to do was cop a plea like everybody else who got caught, got busted on video. He decided, oh, no, and you can't do this, and I'm not coming to court. I'm not seeing the judge. He don't want to do anything, right?
Right. He got arrogant.
First time in Patriots history that they didn't want to see videotape.
I'm shocked. Kawhi didn't like that one. That was hilarious.
Thank you.
That's a rim shot. I'm going to give you the rim shot. Boom, boom, boom. There you go.
And here's the other part. People say, oh, you're making a big deal. Donald Sterling, who owned the Clippers, was forced to sell his team. Chris, did he commit a crime?
No.
He did not commit a crime. Being
as
a bigot, being
much
a racist,
as I wanted
whatever
him
you want to say.
Right. It set a strange precedent, to say the least.
He said stuff.
As much as I wanted him out.
He didn't know it was being recorded in his own home, Chris.
Off the record, in your own home.
With your side piece.
That's a bad precedent.
And they said, oh, no, when they heard that tape, no way are we allowing you. He made out and sold his team for, what, $2
billion
or whatever it was?
He bought him for $12 million, I believe.
And he got $2
billion? Sold him for $2
billion. So he made out.
Don't feel too sorry for him. Right.
But this is just my point. It's the same exact thing. All right? And good for the police down in Florida. Because he got caught, refused to cop a plea like everybody else. And like I said, some of the information is now coming out. The judges held up the videotape so that hasn't been released. And they're forcing him to come to court like everybody
else.
Which
I like.
I love it.
I hate when people who are wealthy, rich, prestigious get away with things that people who are
who don't have
poor
any right
or regular, if you will,
would be held running to jail.
And that's a big problem in our criminal justice system as it is. So I'm glad to see this.
Yeah, and I was taken aback. All this time, I thought Robert Kraft was anti-crack, but apparently not. Because
I'm steering clear of certain things.
And I'm going to say this. Ironically, Chris, the Patriots, do you know they released their new theme song for 2019? It just so happened today. And it was supposed to be about Coach Bill Belichick and quarterback Tom Brady. But in light of this testimony, it could be seen in a different light. Take a listen.
You just don't know when to quit.
Huh?
You just don't know when to quit.
One last one.
You don't know when to stop.
And there's no truth to the rumor that Detective Phil McCracken was working this case. But my bottom line is that this is embarrassing to the National Football League. And you have to have your owners held to a higher standard than even the players.
No, I agree.
You do. And this is a bad situation. You can paint all you want. Oh, he's just an old rich guy and he gets to do whatever he wants. You can't do this and then ask other people to be on some sort of different standard. You can't. And that's why Roger Goodell and the other NFL owners now have to take a look. Because the longer this draws out, Chris, you know what? The more information comes out, the more messy it gets. And then, God forbid, the videotape comes out. And
is
I'm going to tell you.
Is there any doubt that it's coming
out? It's going to come out.
Whether
and I want it to come out.
GMZ,
I want it to come out. And I now want to see it more than I ever have wanted to see it.
You want to see it?
I want him to be embarrassed.
I want to see it even less than I wanted to see it. I didn't want to see it in the first place, but now I definitely don't want to see it. If you say you want it to come out.
I want him to be embarrassed.
So he's treated like the average person. I get that. But you want to see it? You want to see it?
I want to see the video. I'm a reporter.
You're a nasty so-and-so.
I want to be able to talk about it.
Feel sick.
And see what's going on, and then I can make my own judgment.
We can read about it. I don't want to see that thing. I agree with virtually everything you said, Rob, except wanting to see the tape. But the other, I don't agree with him being forced to sell. I thought if it was tied to sex trafficking, which obviously
that's
is egregious,
totally right.
That's a whole different thing.
He'd be in jail.
Yeah, and he'd be in jail and he should sell. But I think he should be suspended, no activities near the team, nothing for a year. I think that's what it should be. I don't think he should be forced to sell. I am all for, it's part of our show. I'm a Christian. You know, I have certain moral standards. I would be all for our country really having high moral standards. But when I look at the fact that our current president has talked terribly about women and done crazy things with, you know, in this same situation pretty much. Our past presidents have done things, you know, with interns and so to speak. Like, if you can still be the president of the United States, it's sad, it's shameful, but it's a fact. And do those things.
Can I stop you, though?
A football team.
The difference, though, is Donald Trump was elected by the people of the country. having a football team is not a right. It's not. That's why the owners have to vote on you to even get in their exclusive club, Chris. That's the difference. If Trump had to go get hired by people,
or but are they all?
No,
again,
but I'm just saying.
I think he should be suspended for a year. But
think
my point,
about it.
Are all of these owners we gonna hold them to this type of standard?
Yes, you should.
They doing it behind the scenes. A lot of them.
Well, if you get caught and busted, it's different. You're driving 80 miles an hour. We know this on the highway. It's only till you get caught. And if you get caught like he got caught, he should have to pay a steep price.
I agree with that.
And I don't care how old he is. I don't care how much money he has. I don't care how prestigious a team he owns.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I said during the break, I said, what's up with Bryce Harper?
And what did
I
say?
Was he hitting 240? Getting booed in Philadelphia?
That's all right. That
he
comes
with
it.
He was my pick to win MVP, too.
That comes
and
with it.
And you said, it's early.
It's the first month.
What's up? He started hot.
How many RBIs did he have in the first month?
I don't know, but yeah,
over
he
20.
Started hot. He had 6 homers, 21
over
ribbies,
20. That means he's going to have 100.
Yo, he's striking out like every third or fourth at bat.
Welcome to the league. That's what's going on
now. We about to talk that. All right, it's the Odd Couple. He is Rob. I am Chris. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And the Major League Baseball season has just completed its first month, Rob.
Yes.
And the month of April, of course. And there was an interesting article by Jason Stark, longtime baseball writer for The Athletic. And he made a few observations that really stuck with me. And I want to talk about it with you, Mr. Baseball. The first thing he said is we are actually on pace. Major League Baseball is on pace to have more than 1,000. Check this out. 1,000 more home runs than the highest year of the steroids era.
I don't doubt that one bit.
The highest year of the steroids, and I know they've passed that already, the last year and recently. And
right,
all that.
But they're just like 1,000 this
year. Yeah, the highest era of the PED, or the highest year of the PED era, was 5,693 homers in 2000. We're on pace for about 6,400 because, you know, as many homers as they're hitting already, once the weather gets better,
because remember, be the weather
more.
Has
it goes
been
up
bad.
Every year.
Right.
Right. It goes up every year. That's the first thing. The second thing is that singles, triples, stolen bases, and intentional walks are all down. Singles are down because everybody's swinging for the fences.
And
launch angles
else?
And all that. And the shifts.
And the shifts. So a lot of those hits are taken away because everybody plays the percentages. If there's a left-handed guy, they move the people over.
Yep.
And what normally would be a hit for you, Chris, in that hole, now isn't a hit anymore.
So I want to throw it out to you, Mr. MLB. I don't think this is good. This is I've always said it, whether it's football, basketball, or baseball. The sports are better when there's balance. I don't want 3 yards in the cloud of dust or the Arena League in the NFL. I don't want all three-pointers and paint shots. I want some post play, some mid-range, some threes, some transition basketball in the NBA. And in Major League Baseball, I don't want all home runs and strikeouts. I love Lou Brock, Ricky Henderson. I want stolen bases. I want base hits. I want manufacturing of runs. And, of course, I want home runs, too. But this all or nothing feel, this is obviously an overstatement, but are we en route to, you know, slow pitch softball with these old dudes with beer bellies where it's all about hitting home runs?
No, I mean, your points are well taken, and this is the issue that I have. Once they decided that a strikeout's not a bad thing, Chris, this is what happened where young guys came up, and if you would have struck out in the pace that some of these guys would do, you'd be sent back to the minor leagues.
Right.
You're not walking enough. No. Analytics say it doesn't matter what out you make, if you strike out or ground out.
Right.
They don't care about moving runners over, all that other stuff. So those things have gone by the wayside. I'm with you. I don't want to see. Remember opening day? That should have told you all you wanted to. The Dodgers hit 8 home runs in that game.
Right.
Set a record. It never happened. 8 home runs on opening day. So I'm with you. And the reason that the home runs are at the pace that they're at is because it's not frowned upon to swing and miss. And you get paid for home runs. And so guys are letting it rip. Before, you'd have to, like, choke up a little bit, go the other way. Hey,
you were told, don't swing for the fences.
Exactly. And that is just not the case anymore. And I think it has hurt the game. I don't like all the shifts. I don't know how you...
I don't like all that. I think you should outlaw the shift. I mean, you obviously guys can have a range. You know, you can have a range where you're moving around, shortstop.
I don't mind.
But these incredible ninth inning shifts, I think they should outlaw.
In the ninth inning, when a guy moves closer to the bag not to give up a double, I'm cool with that.
Right, right.
All right, that's a shift
I don't say outlaw all shifting, because, again, you have to give them some range.
And all you have to do is tell people that you got to have two guys on each side of the field.
Yeah.
So do you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So you can move them, shade them towards second base, the shortstop. But the third baseman, you can't have four guys. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, it's got to be, you always have to have two people on one side of the field. And you can shade them up the middle like they used to, Chris, but not put four guys on the right side. One guy in short right field, one guy is at behind second base, and the second baseman is there as well. That I don't want.
They said teams are averaging, or per game, I guess, there's 1.31 homers per game. That's the average right now in Major League Baseball. And here's another thing, Rob, that I fear. Baseball is already, and I don't mean this in a condescending way or anything, or a negative way. It's a slow sport. There's not as much scoring as basketball and football. So the action, there are times where it's not much action. If I start, if now you're darn near taking away base hits and singles, singles.
That hurts more than anything.
Right
now,
am I just sitting there waiting for that one or two homers per game?
And it wasn't always like that. There used to be guys who were good doubles hitters.
Yep. Doubles aren't down for some reason.
You can knock in a run with a double because you're still hitting it to the outfield.
Yep.
You're hitting it with power. But singles being down, that's directly on the shift and the idea that guys can swing freely, not a controlled swing trying to make contact. I don't have to make contact anymore. I'm not going to be sent to the minors. I'm not frowned upon if I strike out 250 times a year.
That's why I bet you people are telling Bryce, as you know, he's hitting 240, Bryce Harper, he's striking out a ton. But he's got 6 homers
and the 20-some RBIs,
I believe.
Which for a first month isn't bad.
People might be looking at that as, hey, you're batting out. And he typically walks a lot.
That time 6 months, you get all your numbers.
40 homers or whatever.
And over 100 RBIs.
Yep.
So then nobody complains about that. So that's one of the things that I think is weird. But I'm with you. I don't like it. I've been to a number of games early when the season first started. And I'll get back into being able to go.
Right.
School is over now for me, so I have more opportunity to go. And I don't want to sit through just swinging and missing and home runs.
I don't want to just beat up on the analytics guys. I think analytics has its place. But a lot of times, the analytics guys tend to be those that didn't play sports. Forget the major league level. Forget the college level. A lot of these guys didn't play at the high school level in their various sports. And I don't know if they have – I don't want to say they don't have the same commitment to the sport. But, you know, it's all about numbers. It's all about the science of it. I mean, we talked about it with the Dodgers last year, sitting your 4 best home run hitters against lefties and, you know, all
at that. Fenway Park.
Right. There can come a point where analytics – can hurt the game.
Here's my argument to you. The big team with analytics, Oakland A's, Billy Beane, that.
Yep.
You're following a model of a franchise that can't win. So why is baseball following? And here's a perfect example. Chris, last year they won 93 games. They made it to the playoffs. Where did they rank in attendance? 28th. So even though they were winning, people say, well, if winning cures all. If they win, people are going to show up.
Right.
They didn't show up.
Because
it's not a style of baseball that you want to see.
And if you take analytics to the nth degree, particularly in baseball, where it's a game of failure anyway.
Right.
You're not going to have stars.
All you do is get three hits every 10 at-bats, and you're a star.
Right.
So you fail seven times.
Yeah, you're going to take away stars. Baseball already is a sport where stars can have an off year or two. I mean, we see it with Bryce Harper.
Right.
You know, so you and pitchers, I mean, of course the analytics are going to probably start telling you a guy should go four innings. And then get somebody in there
because that would be your best stuff.
And throwing 100 miles an hour, yeah.
That after four innings, you don't have good stuff.
So how are we gonna compare the pitchers of today? How's a pitcher gonna be a superstar as a starter if he's going four innings?
Yeah, that's the part that I don't agree with.
We already know nobody's ever gonna win 300 games.
Right,
again.
It would be very almost impossible. And the other one that they did was we saw, and we hate to beat up on the Dodgers. But during the playoffs, they pulled guys out when it was time for the second time around through the bat.
Right.
Even though they hadn't given up a hit.
They might have been looking great.
Or one hit and pitching great. And you go like preemptive. You go, okay, he's going to get hit next inning, so let's take him out. No, can he pitch? And let's see if anybody gets a hit. He's pitching great. Why are you taking him out?
And then even if they fail, they're going to say, well, we always going to play the numbers.
Right.
We're always going to play the percentages.
We're going to bring in Joe Blow because he's fresh.
Right.
He's got a fresh arm.
But that's going to hurt, to your point with the Oakland A's, it's going to hurt attendance because we love stars. One of the things that's made the NBA popular and it's had this growth is stars and storylines.
It is about stars.
Storylines. Right? In baseball, they can't get to the point where they are minimizing their star players and they're all pretty much, it's paint by numbers.
What happened in San Diego when they signed Manny Machado? People started showing up. They're winning. They're second. And I'm just saying, it changed the way people looked at the Padres. Why? They have a star in Manny Machado. Fernando Tatis Jr., that's another young kid. They didn't start him in the minor leagues, Chris. They brought him up. He's a star.
Look at the excitement with Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Absolutely, in Toronto.
Yeah. So I think it's an issue, Rob, and I just don't – analytics, like I said, has its place in all the sports, but analytics should not be the end-all, be-all.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Portland Trailblazers big man Enes Kanter has been on one of the unsung heroes of these NBA playoffs, and he is joining us right now. He's one of my favorite guys to interview in the NBA because he keeps it real. Enes, what's happening, man?
How you
this
doing?
Is Chris and Rob, The Odd Couple.
I'm good, fellas. How you guys doing?
We're great, man. We're great. I was saying, I love the fact that you speak your mind, man. You're not worried about what anybody's going to say. You just tell it like it is. And let's start with last night.
A big comeback.
Well, some of the fans, you know, they were yelling some stuff about Turkey, go back to Turkey, oh, wait, you can't, and things like that. When you hear that now, the players' union has come to your defense and everybody's supporting you. How does that feel when you're on the court? Does that really bother you, or do you write it off as an idiotic fan, or does that kind of mess with you?
I mean, first, it's very sad because what just happened, you know. I mean, you cannot – I mean, there will be always – I mean, it's just so much. I've been going through about this conversation. It's been so much. It's just, I feel like there is no place for this in sports. And not in just sports, and there is no place for this in any society, you know, because we're just going out there to entertain people, and sometimes the fans taking it so much in a different direction. It's just because I've been dealing with this stuff for a long time, and it just really hurts my heart to hear this kind of stuff. But, you know, I can't do anything about it. I'm just going to keep talking what I believe in. I'm just going to try to do my job to just speak for the human rights.
No. And you know what? We appreciate that.
Yep.
No doubt about it. Now, let's talk about – I want to go to the basketball court. You guys were down 1-0, and you get the win in Denver, 97-90. Just talk about that. Coming out, you guys jumped out early and were able to even the series at 1-1. That was a huge game because Denver plays very well in their home arena.
Well, I mean, in game one, we were just kind of like, I feel like a little relaxed. And game two, going through the game two, our mindset was, you know, just we cannot be relaxed. We got to treat every game as like game seven because it's the playoffs, man. I mean, you lose, you go home. So that's why I was like going through the game two was our main focus was just be physical, give yourself 100%, and just, you know, try to do everything to help your teammates. Because we know we're going to score the ball. We have enough talent in that locker room to score the ball. I think the most important thing for us was defense. And I think it was all about the trust and communication. So I think we did a really good job on a defensive end in the second game.
And as I look at Nikola Jokic, and I mean, I often wonder if he can even dunk. You know, he's not athletic at all. He looks out of shape.
He's just a baller, though.
But he can play. What is it like to defend him? And how do you have to, you know, do the best you can against him?
I mean, I got so many players in my whole – it's my eighth year in the league. I got so many players, man, but I never see a player plays that awkward. I mean, it's just so weird. That dude is 7 feet, probably 300 pounds, and plays like a point guard. It's crazy. You know, it's he's a very unique player. I mean, he's the type of player that make himself better and make everybody else better around him. That's what I think make him really special. And I think his ability to you know, score the ball inside, outside, passes, making his teammates better, what's to make him really dangerous. But I think, like I said, man, going through the game two, like we got to make him feel uncomfortable. We got to pressure him, or he's like a quarterback, or he's gonna pick you apart. So that's why going through the game two, we have to be physical with that guy, or he's gonna pick us apart. And I think we did a pretty good job on a game two.
Tell me about Damian Lillard. You know, some people look at this as his coming out party in the postseason. Uh-huh. What is about him playing with him now up close that you look and you marvel at? Like, what does he do that you didn't know he did?
I mean, when I was playing against him, I always knew that he can shoot the ball from the logo, or he can score 30, 40 points any given night, but I didn't know how good of a leader he was. You know, when I was signed with the Portland and just being around him for 2-3 months, I was like, man, he's like, I never seen anything like that before, because he leads the team so well and he stays calm. He keeps his teammates calm and he always keeps his coolness. And I mean, like you guys see, you saw one of the first playoff series that we played against OKC. I was like, man, this is something very unique. Well, I think what's making him really special, like Jokic, that he's making everybody else better around him, and he's a very good leader. So that's why he's the franchise player.
It's the Odd Couple. We're joined by Portland Trail Blazers center Enes Kanter. Enes, you were in New York for 2 seasons, or about a season and a half, and Kevin Durant, you obviously played with him in Oklahoma City. All the talk and the rumors are that he's going to go to New York. Yep. I have said he shouldn't go there by himself. Like, if he goes with another star like Kyrie Irving or something, I think he'll be fine. But I think he's too sensitive. You know what the New York media is like. And
yeah,
I feel like he's too sensitive, right? What do you think? If he went there, do you feel the same way? Like, don't go there by yourself, KD. But if you go with a second guy, you'll be all right.
I exactly agree with you 100%, man, because, like, you go there, you're Kevin Durant, just won a 2J championship with 2 rings, and you got it by yourself. If you don't even make the playoffs, you're going to become like a LeBron. You know, they're going to talk all the crazy things about you, and New York media will crash you. And you are not like LeBron. You're very sensitive. So, and it's going to get into your head. So if I say, if you take another superstar with you, another all-star with you, New York is the best place for you, because, I mean, if you win in New York, you're the king of the world, you know. So that's why, I mean, and he got everything he needs in New York, you know, good organization, you know, good players, okay, you know, okay ownership. But I think he will have everything to accomplish in New York, just go there and just have fun.
Well, Enes, we've heard, I mean, obviously some people in the media, and we've heard former players, Walt Frazier, who you know from playing in New York, have said, KD is awesome. We know how great he is. He's maybe the best player in the world right now. But people feel like you got to go somewhere else and lead a team to a championship versus winning them with Golden State, which was already great without you. Do a lot of players around the league kind of feel the same way? Like, you're great and Golden State is great, but you still need to go somewhere else and prove it by yourself.
Yes, I was in a lot of locker rooms, and that's all the talk. You know, I understand, hey, they won a championship without you. You know,
right?
So I mean, you go there, you win another championship, it's amazing. You win two final MVPs, it's amazing. But I feel like he needs to write his own story. He needs to go somewhere and start over and just win a championship. Then people will be like, okay, you know what? He did it. Because you win a championship in Golden State, everybody says it's amazing. But, you know, so he
needs
to
go. A lot of players could have gone.
That's what like almost the whole league said. But I think if he goes somewhere, I mean, he's an amazing player, man.
Right,
I mean, I would try to get under his skin, whatever. I mean, obviously, he's one of the best basketball players on earth. And I think if he goes, like, I mean, big market, like, you know, New York, and if he wins a championship there, he's definitely will be a top five, top ten player of all time.
And you spending time in New York, also the talk is that some free agents are going to give Brooklyn a look. I mean, they got a beautiful building in downtown Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
They got some good pieces. Look at what they were able to do.
Yes, they do.
Make the playoffs without a star player. Like, you know, coming into the season, is Brooklyn a viable option?
I think so. I think what they've been doing, I mean, last two, whatever years, just bringing the piece together. I mean, they got the, you know, the D'Angelo, they got the big man, and I think they got the right pieces. I think that will be another option for the superstars. But I think, like I said, man, I mean, it doesn't matter, Brooklyn or New York. If I was a superstar, I would just definitely go to a big market and just try to win there. Then you're the king, you know. Then people will probably stop talking about, oh, yeah, but.
Right, right. In his last question, you obviously played with Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma mm-hmm. City. He is a unique type of player. We all know that. What is it like to play with him?
I mean, I love Russell Westbrook, man, but he is that's just a personality, you know. On the court, he's going to yell at you. He's going to get under your skin. He's going to do everything to just win the game. That's his personality. That's his nature. But I think people don't know, outside of basketball, he's a very cool, very chill dude, man. I spent 2.5 years with that dude, and he is nothing like he's on basketball court. He eats gummy bears and drinks pineapples on a plane. He plays 2K, and he just chill. He makes jokes. He laughs. So, I mean, he's a very chill dude, man. But I think I don't think he's getting enough credit, man. This dude just made three triple-doubles in a row in 3 years. I don't think he's getting enough credit, but I love the guy. I mean, I got nothing to say against him.
All right, Ennis Cantor,
man,
great
best
stuff,
of luck.
Man.
Yes.
We appreciate it. Good luck in this series.
Thank you, fellas. Always good to talk to you.
Yes, appreciate you.